Thank you for welcoming me back into the pulpit here on the Sunday after Thanksgiving and the end of what, by all rights, ought to be the college football regular season, if not for all these newfangled conference championship games. And I bring that up because I, as many of you know, used to work in computers. As a result, I grew up frequenting internet message boards. And let me tell you, there is nothing like the coaching pool available to you out of people who read the message boards of a losing football team. If only they could be on the sidelines, their teams would be undefeated, have 50 points each game, and never punt. And I bring that up because as we read today's scriptures, I would like you to engage in a little bit of Sunday morning quarterbacking and see where you fit in the story. Where are you in the story of Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ, the King? If you want to turn, it is John 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." So we have three categories of people in the story, and I imagine most of you would find yourself in a fourth. Because in the story we have the mob outside handing Jesus over to the authorities seeking their justice. We have Pontius Pilate, this man put in authority in the unenviable task of carrying out the will of the occupying Romans in the pressure of lived everyday Jerusalem. And we have Jesus Christ. And if you look in the story and find yourself in Jesus Christ, you aren't trying hard enough. So we like to invent a fourth person, the one who says, "If only I had been there, I would have been out in front of the mob, keeping them from handing Jesus over to the authorities." And then we read back and see that Peter tried to do that, and Jesus said, no, please don't. I would be there in the room with Pontius Pilate explaining that we just need to get Jesus out the back door, and it would all be fine. But in fact, Jesus doesn't want that either. We all find a place to appear in the text where we would have changed the outcome. Because it is hard, really, to empathize with Pontius Pilate. Now, here we have in the Gospel of John a very favorable picture of Pontius Pilate, one that says, "Oh, I find nothing wrong with Jesus. It is all their fault." And yet, it was not the chief priests who held the power of life and death in Jerusalem. It was the Roman government represented by Pilate. And so in this text, Pilate tries and tries and tries, and this is just the beginning of several verses of Pilate saying, "Oh, no, 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 if it were only up to me, I would let you go. But it is not up to me, and so I won't." Now, we've all been in the position of having a boss and sometimes having to enforce a rule we do not like. When I worked in technology, I was the technical person on a sales team for software. And so I had to tell the customers, "Oh no, the software is not going to be shipped for another 6 months. Oh no, this bug that you desperately wanted fixed and that indeed we promised we would have fixed for you is not fixed, and your problem is still there. because I had to protect the engineers and developers who wrote the software. And all of you, I'm sure, have been in a similar case of having to accept responsibility for something that was not your fault. And this is how Pilot is portrayed to us. This is how we are meant to feel about Pilot, to understand him, that he has to report to his Roman rulers and overlords that he was responsible for rioting in Jerusalem, and that he now needs the help of the legions to put down the riots. And this is what Pilot fears if he does not execute Jesus. We are meant to have sympathy with him. And yet, the power of life and death in Jerusalem belonged with Pontius Pilate. At the same time, we cannot imagine ourselves in the mob demanding to turn over Jesus because he is a threat to the moral order. He is a threat to their way of life. He is a threat to the sense they have of their religion. And even worse, he is a blasphemer. We cannot imagine thinking this about Jesus. We cannot imagine that if we had not been there, we could have made some sort of difference, explaining, no, no, you all just don't understand. He's not a blasphemer. He merely is the incarnation of God, which I recognize looks a lot like blasphemy. Because we understand now what Jesus was to us, but we cannot imagine what Jesus was to the people around him. And I bring up the football because you see the same sort of thing. We cannot imagine ourselves in the mob. And yet, if you are a college football fan, and I see most of the hardcore football fans in the audience are not here today celebrating their SEC East victory, but if you are, or any kind of sports fan, or any kind of fan of anything at all, you understand sometimes you look around and you say, oh no, 4-8 is not a good enough record for us. It's time to fire somebody, to fire anybody, as came up on an Iowa message board yesterday. It's time to fire anybody. And this is the mob thinking. And you can see yourself, even if you are not a sports fan, sometimes getting into that mode. Surely there is an answer. We will have a much better time if only we get rid of this guy. And when we do that, a funny thing happens. The person stops being an individual and starts being an object. And so in this case, it is not Jesus the man who is being sent to Pilate for execution. It is the idea of Jesus who challenges everything we hold dear. The Jesus that we cannot understand how anyone would follow. The Jesus that is so alien that he must be gotten rid of. And it's hard to hear that because we don't think of Jesus like that. Jesus is the one whose side we are on. And so it is the great irony that throughout history, Christians have responded to this passage, to the unrighteousness and violence of the mob, by doing violence to Jews. Throughout the Middle Ages, even into the present day, you will hear cries of, "You killed our Savior." And these are the passages that set down that story. And it turns so many Christians out of the mindset of Jesus, our King, and into the mindset of Jesus, who represents the side we are on. We want to be able to make a difference. And so Christians put themselves into the footsteps of the Christians in the first century and say, if only I had fought back the Jews, then this would be different. And so I will do it now. The great irony here is that the mob wants violence. Pilate is the instrument of violence in Jerusalem. And Jesus is sitting in the middle saying, no, no, no. Because Jesus does an interesting thing in this passage. Jesus says to Pilate, no, you are not wrong that I am a king. He doesn't say that in so many words. He is trying to evade Pilate because Pilate is asking this question in order to discover if Jesus stands against Rome and should be executed as a challenger to Caesar. Now, we know from history that, in fact, Pilate decides he is. But in this exchange, Jesus does an interesting thing. He says, I am going to give you, Pilate, the choice to escalate the violence or to walk away. How does he do this? Jesus understands the question Pilate is asking. Pilate is asking, are you a challenge to Rome? And so Jesus, while not denying who he is, while testifying to the truth, nonetheless says to Pilate, I am not exactly what they say I am. I am something different. You just need to understand me in a different way, and you will see I am not a threat to Rome. My kingdom is not on earth. My kingdom is from somewhere else, and I am here to speak the truth. So what Jesus is saying to Pilate is, it's your choice, Pilate. It's your game. You can look at me as an enemy of the state, or you can look at me as someone with other business here, and you can de-escalate this. And so Pilate, far from being a put-upon civil servant, is someone who has a choice to make, being there in the midst of the story. And the choice is, do I look at Jesus as a man and a prophet sent in front of me for impartial judgment? Or do I see Jesus as a tool to be used against and for the mob? And Pilate, in this text, is portrayed as making the decision to de-escalate, but it doesn't ring true. Because right after he goes out and says, oh, we don't have the end of 38, actually, only 37. After this passage, he says, I find no fault in Jesus. I find no crime here, and then has him flogged. So this is all very depressing. And this is all, you're all stunned in silence now, and I understand that. And so what the lesson here is we like to imagine that we would have done things differently. We would like to imagine that given the choice, we would have saved Jesus. But so many people who imagine that, imagine it in violence. And Jesus' kingdom is as the Prince of Peace. So when we are faced with decisions, we can do as Pilate did and say, it is out of my hands and I will escalate it. I will call for the head of someone who is an other to me. We can be the mob and say, no, 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 something must be done. The authorities must act to change things. Or we can be as Jesus would like us to be and say, there's another way to look at this, mob. There's another way to look at this, civil authority. The answer does not need to be violence. The answer does not need to be attacks on individuals. The answer does not need to be setting of sides. All those Saturday morning quarterbacks and Sunday morning quarterbacks look at the games not understanding that they may as well have been on the sidelines. Because it is easy to make the choice to stand in and act differently when it's not your choice to make. The problem for us is that we look at the gospel, we look at the football field, we look at the policies made in Congress, we look at the elections and races that we see, and we say we would have done it differently. But what we miss is in our own lives, we have the opportunity to do it differently every day. We have the opportunity to say, I am not going to vilify someone else. I am going to give the benefit of the doubt. If someone comes up to me and offends and threatens me, I need not respond in kind. We have the opportunity to know when to walk away. And so often we forget that that is the choice that faces us, that is the choice that faced Pilate, that is the face of the choice that faced the mob who were so upset, and for good reason. How often do we respond to people who tell us our way of life is not quite right with anger and indignation? And how easy would it be for us to instead listen to them and say, that's an interesting point of view that you have. I will stick forth to my truth, just as Jesus did, and I will challenge you to defend yourself in words and not in violence. So as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, I would like us, in this period of anticipation we are about to enter in Advent, to resolve anew to look at challenges to us as opportunities for learning and as opportunities for finding a way to be more like Jesus, less like the mob, and less like Pilate. Pilate tries to claim his choice. He cannot. The mob tries to explain that God is on their side, and we know it is not. Let us be like Jesus, seeking the truth, seeking to speak the truth, and seeking to end the cycle of violence that has plagued humanity from the dawn of time. Please pray with me. God, in this time and in this place, we know it is difficult to lay aside our own prejudices, our own fears, and our own pride. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who showed us another way to live, who showed us that in humility and in peace there may be justice and triumph. Dear God, as we enter Advent this coming week, let us seek to be the Prince of Peace in our own lives, that when we look back on the stories, we do not say, oh, if only I had been there, but we instead say, oh, when I was there. Amen. We are now going to sing a hymn of response, number 587. It is misprinted in the bulletin. It is correct on the board. And Jeff Davis will be down here to receive you if anything you have seen or felt in this worship service today has caused you to feel a call to the ministry or commitment to this church. Hymn 587.